You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
If you've ever wondered about starting a small business or starting a business in general, a lot of the considerations that go into that are obviously around operations, getting the business off the ground, putting in place all the legal things. And one of the things that we often forget is the fact that you can protect some of the intellectual property that goes into the business. You've got a really good idea, you've got a really innovative solution to something, and you don't want someone else to take it from you. You can actually protect that. There's actually a legal firm that's based out in Pretoria, closer to Lynnwood, and I know this because I used to drive past there on my way to school many, many moons ago, called Adams & Adams, and they were always the specialists in intellectual property law. And I always wanted to ask them what that was, how that worked, and how we could navigate that space and finally get to do that. I'm joined on the line by Marcel Sammons, attorney for the trademark prosecutions at Adams & Adams, to take a look at intellectual property and what kinds of intellectual property you can protect as a startup business. Good evening, Marcel. Thanks so much for taking the time. What is intellectual property? Let's start.
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you very much. And yes, just to confirm, there are so many considerations when you start a business. And intellectual property is unfortunately in many instances an afterthought. So, you know, we often get queries from clients asking us to copyright their brand or even to copyright their patent. So there's definitely an impression that entrepreneurs and people in the business space know these words, and these words ring a bell, but it's unfortunately not always a priority. So yes, I might just start by saying that intellectual property is an umbrella term which refers to the different types of intellectual property, which include trademarks, copyrights, patents, designs.
Marcel, I imagine these different types of intellectual property have sort of different methods of dealing with them and how we deal with them. And we'll get to that in a second. I want to just start by looking at when is the best time to protect the IP. You touched on this now to say a lot of the conversations happen after the fact. When should they be happening? Do they happen when we set up the company? Do they happen when we have a most viable product? As a new business, when's the best time to have this conversation?
Yes, Jimmy, and this is also a question that we get often in practice. So a client will typically ask, you know, when is the right time to protect our IP, or is this something that can be done at a later stage? And in response to this question, one of my reporting partners like to say that the right time to protect your IP is yesterday. So I think the golden rule is, do not wait until it's time to litigate. So we really believe that it's imperative to be proactive when it comes to protecting your intellectual property. So at the very least, there must be a mindfulness of intellectual property from the get-go.
Marcel, you mentioned that there are obviously different types of intellectual property that can be protected. How do I kind of, as a business owner, know whether I've got IP that's worth protecting? What are the different types of IPs that I can protect?
Yes, so we've alluded to the fact that protecting your intellectual property is crucial for your overall business strategy. So to zoom into your intellectual property strategy, you have to, as a first step, identify the intellectual property that is applicable to your business. So to do this, you can perhaps ask yourself, what are the business's goals, or what are you trying to achieve? So if your goal is to put an inventive white label product on the market, patent protection could be of interest to you. If your goal is to produce clothing, branding would probably be more important. So just to give you a short definition of the different forms of intellectual property. So a trademark typically applies to a product name, a business name, a slogan, a unique device. Copyright typically applies to the material reduction of an idea. So this is also a device, an artistic work or literary work. A patent will allow you to protect an invention. And a design will allow you to protect the appearance or function of a feature as applied to an article.
Marcel, what about some of the other types of IP that we often find in businesses, but we don't necessarily know how to classify? I'm thinking about things like intangible assets, things you can't really measure, that the IP that might sit in one's head as information, or experience that you've got in a particular craft. Is there a way to capture that and bring that into a business when you start a business? Because sometimes when you start a business, some people bring capital to the table, but other people bring a different level of expertise.
Of course. In the greater scheme of things, it sounds like we're talking in the direction of intellectual capital. So one of the forms of intellectual property, which I did not mention, is trade secrets. So a trade secret is not registrable simply for the fact that it will remain a secret. But this will typically cover the know-how of a business. And how you will protect this in practice is, for example, by way of including appropriate clauses in an employment contract. So a confidentiality clause. Yes.
That's quite interesting. Marcel, how do we navigate the costs? Businesses are dealing with a mountain of costs when we start a business, and the last thing I want to do is take on additional costs to trademark something where perhaps I can do it at a later date, or perhaps when we have enough money. How do we navigate the cost side of things, and is it a costly exercise to register a trademark or to protect your intellectual property?
So that's of course a consideration specifically for startups. So I think we must go back to the question of what are you trying to achieve? So what are your goals? So if you ask yourself, will my product, will consumers view my product to be better as a result of the intellectual property? And the answer is yes. I would say that from a budgetary point of view, it's worth it. Make it work. Your IP is clearly giving you a competitive advantage, and you should no doubt hold on to that and monopolize it for as long as possible.
Marcel, when we do these sorts of applications, or when we do decide that we want to go and protect our intellectual property, what does the process look like from a practical point of view? I mean, we understand the process from a CIPC point of view. You register a company, you open a bank account with a bank. When we have the intellectual property conversation, what does that process look like, and how do we get to an outcome? Is it in contracts? Are there certificates? How does it all look?
Okay, so perhaps I should focus specifically on trademarks. You mentioned registering a company. So in practice, people often believe that the first step is to register an entity. And actually, the ideal is to conduct a trademark clearance search before doing that. So of course, when you register an entity, you will record an entity name on the company's register. So that entity name, if you use it in trade to distinguish your services or your products from those of competitors, it functions as a trademark. So before using it as such, the ideal is to do a clearance search. So a clearance search will essentially help you to identify if there are third parties with prior rights, and if you use the proposed company name or even product name, will this infringe on a third party's existing rights? So this is very important, because often in practice, someone will start trading with a specific name without conducting a search. And then 3 months later, they'll receive a letter of demand. In the letter of demand, a third party will be demanding that the company name be changed because it's causing confusion in the marketplace. So just the very first thing to my mind is to conduct a trademark clearance search. And if your trademark attorney then says you're good to go, you can register the company, and that's when you start branding and building on that.
Marcel, when we look at the outcomes of protecting your IP, we've registered a trademark, or we've registered a particular patent or a design of sorts, or whatever that we have safeguarded. At what point do I get to use the little letters, the fancy symbols, the little TM symbols and the little R symbols? Is it important to have those symbols to show that that trademark is a valid trademark?
Yes. Okay, so with regards to trademarks, as soon as you have a registered trademark, you can use the R symbol. And that is extremely valuable because that, of course, draws attention and it informs members of the public that you are claiming a monopoly in the trademark. So it has deterrent value, so it deters potential infringers from using your mark without your permission. So as soon as you file a trademark application, you can use the TM symbol. You can also use it without an application. So, but the ideal is to use the R symbol, which is then indicative that you have a registration for the trademark and that you have a monopoly in that trademark.
Certainly some interesting times that we have here. You can protect your names, you can protect your ideas, you protect your designs and everything else. We'll leave it at that. Thanks so much, Marcel, for those insights. Marcel Sammons, attorney for trademark prosecution at Adams & Adams, on protecting your intellectual property as a business.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.